one day at a time. If by one day at a time he meant that we were doing this with or without them, then I was totally on board. I wasn't entirely sure Gabriel would be willing to step out of line when it came to council orders, but one thing I knew for sure, I wasn't stepping foot in that arena. I would do this myself if I had to. All I needed was one feral revenant and someone to back me up in case things went really, really wrong. Trace was a scratch right off the bat. He was too invested in me to ever let a hair on my head be moved. Knowing this, I would instantly feel at ease with him watching over me, which would do nothing for raising my personal threat level. That only left one person. Dominic. Somehow it always came back to Dominic. After all, he was the obvious choice. Firstly, he didn't care about me. Not in any real way, anyway. He was strong, available, and twisted enough to agree to it. Heck, he'd probably even get a kick out of watching me fall to my knees at the mercy of some untamed rev. All I needed was a little incentive to win him over, a little something to make it worthwhile for him. And I had just the right thing pumping through my veins. Only question was, would I be willing to give it to him? 25. The Plan. Trace picked me up later that evening after Gabriel and I finished training, and together we headed over to Dominic's for round two of our experiment. My Uncle Carl had no problem letting me stay out late on account of it not being a school night, though I'm sure it had more to do with the fact that I was with Trace. We'd left him under the false pretense that Trace was taking me out for a late-night dinner and movie. Frankly, he seemed rather ecstatic about the whole idea. I still couldn't figure out why he and Peter MacArthur seemed so adamant on me and Trace spending time together, but I knew something had to be up with that. Of course, there was the obvious reason. They hoped that it would tempt Trace to rejoin the Order and take his rightful place as my keeper. But was that all there was to it? Something told me I was only scratching the surface when it came to the secrets my uncle and Trace's father were keeping. "Care for a drink, love?" asked Dominic as Trace stepped out of the room to take a phone call. "It'll help take the edge off." I looked down at his assortment of dark liquor and shook my head. I could still taste the vomit at the back of my throat from the last time I took the edge off. A crooked grin danced across his lips as though I'd done something cute or amusing to him. "You really should learn to loosen up, Angel."
"I think I'm loose enough."
I cringed at my own poor choice of words as Dominic chuckled softly. "I meant that I don't need to be relaxed. In fact, I need to be exactly the opposite of relaxed."
"You ought not to take life so seriously."
He walked over to the sofa and took a seat next to the raging fire.
"It's not like any of us are going to make it out alive. Well, unless you're immortal like me, that is."
"Deep," I said, flopping down into the chair across from him. My wooden stake dug into the back of my leg, prompting me to spring back up. I pulled out the stake from my back pocket and tossed it onto the coffee table.
"I see your training is progressing delightfully," he said, picking up my weapon and examining it. "You know they mean business when they give you your very own stick," he said mockingly, his silky voice laced with contempt.
"Yeah, and I know how to use it too," I warned him. Even though my aim still wasn't perfect, it had significantly improved over the course of my training, and I was fairly certain I could hit my mark on the first shot, second at the most. "Now I just need to figure out how to carry this stupid thing. It keeps cutting into my leg every time I sit down," I added, irritated by the inconvenience. I'd come dangerously close to tearing myself a new one on more than one occasion. He got up and casually strode over to the bookshelf. Opening a small box, he pulled out a narrow leather case with a strap attached and threw it over to me.
"What is it?"
"A sheath," he said plainly as I fumbled with it in my hands. "It goes around your ankle, love."
I knew that. I turned it right side up and then smiled at him,
Thank you.
Sitting back down on the sofa, he crossed his leg and watched as I pulled up my pant leg and angled the holster against my calf.
I met with Angel again this evening, he informed, his eyes still fixed on my exposed leg.
My eyes cut to him.
I attempted to siphon some information from him, he continued and then licked his lips. About that temptress bloodline of yours.
And?
I'd say things have taken a turn for the worse.
His dark eyes met mine lazily.
He was asking a lot more questions and offering a lot less answers.
What kind of questions? I asked, quirking a brow at him.
About your habits, your friends, places you frequent. He seems rather preoccupied with you, with discovering what you really are.
He spoke evenly, like he was discussing the menu at a restaurant and not my goddamned life.
My guess is he already knows something, but he hasn't put all the pieces together yet. Either way, it's not particularly looking good for you, Angel.
That noose-like chokehold was back with a vengeance. What about the amulet? Do you think he's planning on going back on our deal? The amulet for Taylor? Not that I had any intention of following through with it, but it would certainly make it harder for us to guess his next move if he had his own plans in mind.
I can't say for sure, though he certainly appears to have shifted gears.
We can't leave anything to chance. I tightened the strap on my sheath and then lowered my pant leg. We need to make the first move, catch him off guard.
Like an ambush?
Verified Dominic as he sipped his drink. Exactly. I sat back in my chair and thought it over. I don't want him to see us coming. It has to be before Friday. Otherwise, he'll be ready for us. We'll be playing right into whatever he might have planned. I glanced over my shoulder at the entrance to make sure Trace wasn't heading back our way. Dominic's eyes followed mine.
I think it's about time we involve the Reaper. I'd venture that he isn't good for much, but we could certainly use a few extra bodies on our side.
Bodies. That was exactly what I was afraid of. There was no way I was going to allow Trace to go to his death trying to protect me, to save me. I could only expunge one life threat at a time, and this wasn't Trace's day. Even though I had my suspicions about the validity of Morgan's vision, not to mention her intentions, I still wasn't sure what to believe, and I wasn't willing to bet Trace's life on an uncertainty. I don't want him involved, I said firmly.
That's not your decision to make,
said a deep, edgy voice from the entranceway. My eyes snapped up to Trace. He was leaning with his shoulder against the wall and a displeased expression on his exquisitely chiseled face.
I don't need you to protect me, Gemma. I'm supposed to protect you.
Well, I'm not the one that has the death omen looming over my head, I countered. You shouldn't be there, Trace. It's too dangerous, and probably suicide. I couldn't live with myself if something happened to you, knowing it was all my fault.
And if something happens to you instead?
He plodded across the room with purpose.
Do you think I want to live with myself knowing I wasn't there to protect you? You're both making me ill,
interceded Dominic, grimacing at the both of us. This isn't going anywhere. I rubbed my temples for relief from the migraine that was beginning to set in.
That's because you're too busy secretly trying to protect each other rather than working together. You're going to get yourselves killed, and probably me in the process,
he added dryly.
Stick to the plan, play your role smartly, and each of us will come out of this with what we want. Yeah, and what is it that we want?
Verified Trace, eyeing Dominic suspiciously.
The amulet, the blonde, and Angel dead, of course.
Trace didn't appear to be entirely convinced that Dominic's intentions were pure, and if I was being completely honest with myself, I wasn't entirely sure of it either. So what is the plan? I asked him, deciding to get a feel for where his head was before making any outright accusations. How are we doing this? His stare darkened as the diabolic wheels in his mind began to churn.
It's fairly simple in theory. You and I go after Angel. Romeo finds the girl and ports her out of there. And when it's all done and over with, we meet up for milk and cookies to celebrate. Where are they keeping her? Asked Trace, ignoring Dominic's blithe comment. She's on the premises, though I'm unsure of her exact whereabouts, he said casually, as though it hardly affected our plan. Then we're going to need a tracker.
Is that like a GPS? I asked dimly.
Less technical, more biological, answered Trace. Someone who can hunt her down by her scent.
He ticked his chin in Dominic's direction.
A shifter.
Like Ben, I said, and then thought of something. Does he know what's going on? Trace shook his head.
You know how he feels about Taylor. He would have tried to do something stupid if I told him.
Maybe it's time to clue him in, I suggested. He probably knows her scent better than anyone else, and he's a shifter. Trace nodded once.
I'll get him in.
Good. And while we're on the topic of fragrances, I began, a troubling thought having just occurred to me. What about mine? If we're going to ambush them, won't they sense me coming? Gabriel said the cloak is fading.
Yes, I did notice that as well.
Dominic smiled, as though he were catching a whiff of it now. I waited for him to catch up. The smile quickly dropped off.
It would certainly pose a problem if they caught your scent beforehand.
Right. So what do we do about it? He took a slow sip of his drink, his expression unwavering.
I may have to make the first strike alone.
That's too dangerous. We don't know how many of his men will be with him. His grin reappeared.
I can take care of myself, love. You needn't worry about me.
Don't flatter yourself, Dominic. I pinned him under a hard glare. I need you to help me take him down, and obviously you can't do that if you're dead. Or deader than you already are.
Charming.
He stretched his arm along the back of the sofa and settled in.
You could, of course, infuse me with your blood. It may give me the necessary edge to withstand the initial onslaught.
I nodded at his quick thinking. With the amulet around my neck and my blood in his veins, we'd pretty much be unbeatable. I was really starting to like our odds. So, Ben tracks Taylor, Trace ports them out, and Dominic and I go after Angel.
We'll meet beforehand to get our affairs in order. Make sure you come armed. You'll need more than that one stick, love,
he said, ticking his chin to my ankle and then turning to Trace.
And a whole lot of cinder dust.
Already on it, said Trace as he pulled out his phone and padded out the room. Call me crazy, but I think this just might work, I affirmed. And surprisingly, my voice didn't waver when I said it. Dominic leaned back, looking satisfied with himself. After a brief stint of silence, he looked across at me pointedly.
You know, love, you'd miss me if I were gone, he cautioned, though it sounded more like a threat than a warning.
I'm sure I would recover. I shifted uneasily in my chair under his penetrating gaze. There was something knowing about his eyes, something dark and haunting. And as much as it sent cold chills down my spine, it also intrigued me, beckoned me in a way I didn't quite understand. Somehow, I couldn't seem to turn my back on the darkness, and that scared me even more than Dominic did. 26. Dance of the Dead. My decision to go to Caleb's party Saturday night was an easy one. Though not one completely void of ulterior motives, I needed to ask Caleb for a favor that required his particular brand of magic. Trace, of course, had his own reasons for deciding to tag along with me. I secretly hoped it was only because he wanted to spend more time with me and not because he was looking for a second round with Caleb. The bass reverberated through the house as Trace and I walked into the party together. As massive as Caleb and Carly's house was, The space always felt small and crammed at these parties, like there wasn't enough quality oxygen to go around. Probably because more than half of Weston's student body was usually in attendance, and that wasn't even counting the busloads from Easton Prep. Rivalry or not, booze and the possibility of a random hookup was all that was needed for everyone to put down their arms and school spirit. I relaxed back against the kitchen counter as Trace and Ben poured themselves a drink over at the makeshift bar, otherwise known as the kitchen table. Lost in my own thoughts, I ran my finger over the spot on my palm where we'd made the incision last night. It was almost fully healed. After one too many unwanted dreams about Dominic, I decided to skip the direct bite and go with the no-contact version instead. I didn't want to risk strengthening the blood bond any more than it already was. And while this pleased Trace to no ends, Dominic was singing a completely different tune. Even still, there was an underlying satisfaction in his eyes that made me uneasy, like he knew the blood bond was beginning to have an effect on me, and he was reveling in it. "Looking good, Blackburn," said Caleb as he leaned into the empty spot beside me. "Thanks," I smiled, dropping my hands. "Nice turnout." "Yeah, not bad," he frowned as his gaze shifted across the room. "It would have been nicer if you left the shadow at home, though," he muttered. Obviously, he had yet to kiss and make up with Trace. "How long are you two planning on keeping this up?" I wondered. "You've both made your point. It's getting old."
"Feels pretty fresh to me."
His sand dune-colored eyes narrowed like he was itching to start something. "Well, it's not. It's stupid," I added tactlessly. "You guys don't even like the same girl. He isn't interested in Nikki, Caleb. Trust me." My eyes bounced to Trace, who was stuck in the corner, getting his ear talked off by Hannah.
"What makes you so sure it's about her?"
he asked, apparently trying to deflect my comment by getting his flirt on. "Because I know when a boy likes a girl. And you like a girl, Caleb, but it's not me." His cockiness seemed to fade a little as he looked down at me. It definitely felt like we had a moment, though it was abruptly obliterated when a naked sophomore ran through the kitchen, screaming, "Go Bulldogs!" wearing nothing but a hockey helmet in front of his crotch. I really hope I didn't look anything like that at Nikki's party last week. You know, stupid and drunk.
"I think that might have been my goalie," said Caleb, shaking his head. "And no, you didn't. You looked pretty hot, actually. Well, up until you started blowing chunks anyway,"
he amended without thinking it through. "Right. Thanks for reminding me." He flashed his pearly whites.
"Any chance I can get another dance with you later, or is he claiming you for the night?"
he asked, ticking his chin in Trace's direction. "Well, we came together, so..." I shrugged it off, unsure of how to finish the sentence. "So, where's Nikki tonight, anyway? Shouldn't you be putting in some time with her, earning those brownie points and whatnot?"
"That's not likely."
He crossed his arms over his chest and shifted his gaze to the crowd as if searching for her.
"I haven't really spoken to her since her party."
"I'm sorry. I didn't mean to mess things up for you. I definitely didn't regret exposing her two-timing ways in front of everyone, though I wished it wouldn't have been at Caleb's expense."
"Nah, it was messed up long before that," he said, and then squared his shoulders as though he'd just revealed more than he was comfortable with.
"You deserve better than what she gives you." He nodded weakly, still staring ahead. I studied him for a moment and then decided to leave it alone. He'd come around when he was ready to, and hopefully realize that he deserved more than the scraps Nikki was giving him. "Hey, you think we could meet up tomorrow?" I asked, biting the inside of my cheek. "I need a favor, but it kind of has to stay between the two of us." His eyebrows rose with intrigue.
"What kind of favor?"
"One that requires your special brand of talent."
"I'm guessing this isn't hockey-related."
I laughed. "No, not hockey-related."
"All right, I can dig that. I have practice tomorrow night, but I'm free all afternoon, he offered.
I'll take it.
So, still no chance on that dance, huh?
He asked as Trace and Ben headed back our way, drinks in hand.
Unlike some people, I can only handle one guy at a time. I gave him a pointed stare.
Rain check, maybe?
Yeah, all right. He smiled sincerely. I'm holding you to it, though. And Blackburn, he said, calling my attention back as my gaze shifted away to Trace. I hope he knows how lucky he is.
My cheeks warmed.
What's poppin', Owens? Ben put his fist out to Caleb as Trace moved in beside me and handed me my drink. Pratt, greeted Caleb, happily bumping his fist. Hope that's a virgin, teased Caleb, ticking his chin to my drink as I took a swig.
Ha, ha.
I rolled my eyes at him and then quickly looked up at Trace. It is, right? I verified. I really, really didn't want to have a repeat of Nikki's bitch bash.
Yeah, it's just a Coke, he said, wrapping his arm around my waist and dropping a kiss on the top of my head.
Whoa, looks like it's getting serious over here, razzed Ben, tweaking his sandy eyebrows at Trace and me. Are you two official now? Is Team Trema a thing yet?
Oh my god. I dropped my head and tried to disappear into my own shirt. Could you be any more embarrassing?
I could try, he winked.
Try being less of an ass instead,
chided Trace as he placed our drinks on the counter. What can I say, man? I'm an ass man. I couldn't help but laugh. Even if it was at my expense, it was nice seeing Ben smiling and joking around again. It was such a rare occurrence these days, I nearly forgot what it looked like. I glanced up at Trace to see if he was laughing too and caught him staring down at me with a soft, adoring look in his eyes.
Dance with me, he said, and it wasn't a question.
I was about to sass him about ordering me around, but then he took my hand in his and smiled at me, a smile that reached all the way to his stunning eyes and instantly made me want to follow him anywhere.
Okay, I said, and decided to leave out the part about how I'd walk into a raging fire if he asked me to. Clasping my hand, he led us into the low-light living room and through the crowd, maneuvering his way around the mess of bodies like he'd run this track hundreds of times before, until he found a quiet spot by the back window. Turning to me, he reached out and wrapped his arms around my waist, pulling me into the shadowy corner with him. Away from prying eyes and callous whispers. My heart sputtered an erratic beat as he ran his hands down my back and began moving us in a slow-burning tempo that sent tremors of electricity shooting across my skin.
Are you trying to keep me distracted to avoid talking to Caleb? I asked, trying not to get too swept up in him.
It was futile, though, because the minute I looked up and met his eyes, I was free-falling right into them.
Maybe.
He stepped in closer to me, his black boots planted on each side of my feet, caging me in.
Or maybe I just wanted to kiss you.
He licked his lips and smiled, revealing his perfect set of dimples. My temperature spiked just looking at him. I pushed up on my toes and pulled his mouth to mine. I couldn't help myself, even if I tried. He smiled against my lips and then immediately kissed me back. Tugging my hips forward as he greeted me with the warmth of his tongue. A pulsating current shot through my veins as he deepened the kiss, and I nearly toppled over from the buzz. Stunned, I pulled back and looked up at him, wondering if he'd felt that too.
What is that? I asked him breathlessly.
What is what?
He moved my hair over my shoulder and leaned in, grazing his lips against my neck. The charge intensified. It's like my skin vibrates every time you touch me. Lately, it didn't even need to be skin-to-skin contact anymore. It seemed to buzz right through my clothes now. He pulled back and looked at me without saying anything. Oh, God. Is it just me? I asked, feeling all the heat in my body rush up to my cheeks. He ran his thumb along my blushing cheek as though he wanted to feel the color.
No. I feel it too.
Is it one of the things you do? I whispered, not wanting to outright ask him about his abilities in mixed company.
He shook his head. I only feel it when I'm with you.
Oh. I pulled in my bottom lip as I thought it over. So, what is it then? I asked him, coming up empty of my own explanations. What does it mean? He hesitated before answering, like he wasn't sure what to say.
I don't know what it means.
Yes, you do. I narrowed my eyes at him. He leaned in again, running his jaw along my cheek and then moved to my ear.
I think it just means our souls are happy when they're near each other,
he whispered in that husky baritone voice that was all his. My heart did a backflip in my chest. What, like soulmates or something? I asked, watching as he flexed his jaw.
Maybe.
He pulled back and gazed down at me, his own eyes unreadable. Do you really believe in that?
That our souls can recognize their other half?
I nodded.
That people are placed in each other's lives for a reason? That it's not purely coincidence?
He continued, getting really specific about it. I swallowed my anticipation and nodded again.
Yeah, I believe in it.
His eyes never wavered from mine.
I believe in a lot of things.
Yeah, like what? I smiled, completely enamored by him. Suddenly, I wanted to know all about it. I wanted to keep him talking until every last word in the English language had been used up.
I believe in you.
He kissed me again, harder this time.
That you're going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Me? I puffed out a laugh, certain that he was placating me. I'm practically afraid of my own shadow.
Doesn't make a difference if you are or aren't.
He shrugged like it was inconsequential.
It doesn't stop you from doing what you have to do. Everyone's afraid of something, Gemma. It doesn't mean you're weak. It means you're alive. It takes real courage to feel that fear and do it anyway.
You think so? I hadn't really thought of it that way.
I know so.
He tucked a strand of my hair behind my ear and then grazed my cheek with his thumb. I could easily fall in love with the way he was looking at me. Like I was something special, something worth fighting for.
You are,
he answered with absolute conviction. He lowered his mouth to mine and pulled a kiss from my lips, soft as an angel's feather.
It's like you have all this light inside of you, but you can't see it. It chases away the darkness in people and draws them in closer to you. It's one of the things I love most about you,
he whispered, sending shivers down my arms.
But it's also one of the things that scares me the most.
Why does that scare you? I asked, confused by his quiet confession.
Seeing the effect you have on people, people like Dominic.
He blinked slowly, his eyebrows pulled together in concern.
I'd be lying if I said it didn't make me nervous.
I can handle Dominic.
And if you can't?
His jaw ticked as something unpleasant passed before his eyes.
I'd kill him if he ever hurt you. If anyone ever hurt you.
No one's going to hurt me, I quickly cut in, forcing the conversation back to a happier, safer place. It didn't matter that neither one of us believed me. It felt wrong hearing him say it out loud, like the heavens might hear our words and make them so. Trace grimaced.
I wish I could take this all away for you, give you the life you really deserve.
I held on to him tighter, wishing the same for him, for both of us.
Maybe when this is all over, we can go somewhere nice, somewhere far away from here where no one knows us and the sun never sets.
The twinkle in his blue eyes made my heart flutter. You know a place like that?
If I did, would you go with me?
He asked, his majestic eyes filled with the kind of unbridled hope and vulnerability I was rarely permitted to witness from him. I'd go anywhere with you, Trace. And it was the truth. Probably the truest words I ever uttered. 27. Dragon's Blood. Less than 24 hours later, I was back at Caleb's house, sans Trace, standing on his front porch as I waited for him to answer the door. I was about to give up and leave when he finally answered, wearing nothing but a white bath towel and water beads cascading down from his wet, tousled hair. My mouth fell open at the sight of it. Apparently, he was quite an athlete.
"Hey, Blackburn." He stepped back from the threshold to let me in. "Just give me a minute to change. I just got out of the shower."
I tried to tell him, "Sure thing," but what came out sounded a lot more like a gibberish mumble. Heck, it could have been Pig Latin for all I knew. I gave up and nodded instead. Once inside, I headed into the kitchen and pulled out a chair at the table. The same table that was covered with kegs and plastic red cups just a few short hours ago was now adorned in textbooks and homework assignments. There was no way he cleaned this place up all by himself, especially in such a short time frame. He probably had a maid or a magic wand. 5 short minutes later, Caleb reappeared, fully clothed in a pair of blue jeans and a matching Henley shirt.
"So, what's this favor you want to ask me?"
He sat down on the chair across from me and tapped his hands on the table as he waited for me to solve the mystery. "I need you to do a spell for me." His eyebrows shot up, intrigued.
"What kind of spell?"
"A cloaking spell. If we were going to ambush Angel, I needed to make sure they couldn't sense me coming." His head ticked back a notch, expressing his confusion.
"Aren't you already cloaked?"
I didn't bother going into the details about the current state of my wavering cloak. "I need something more powerful," I explained. "Something that would mask me from Revs. Are you able to do that?" He laughed smugly.
"I've been casting since before I could walk. Pretty sure I could handle it."
He winked. "Good. And I need it to be attached to a talisman," I clarified. "I have to be able to break the spell when I'm done with it." I wasn't interested in having that whole can't break the cloak issue all over again.
"Not a problem."
He tilted his head to the side.
"So, do you just want to eliminate any Slayer essence, or do you want to replace it with something else? Like a human scent, or maybe some other soup?"
"Soup?"
"Supernatural."
My eyebrows rose in surprise. "You can do that?"
"I can do just about anything,"
he said with a cocky grin splayed from ear to ear. "Even replicate a revenant's essence?" He snorted like there was nothing to it.
"Just say the word," he grinned.
I was so impressed, I didn't even bother trying to knock his arrogance down a peg. "Oh, and I need something else from you. A protection spell. For Trace." His sunny disposition quickly evaporated. "I know you're not talking to him right now, but he was your friend at some point, wasn't he?" I tried pleading to his sentimental side, though I wasn't sure he had one. "He's going to help me get Taylor back, and it's going to be stupid dangerous. If something happens to him..." I shook my head, chasing away the thought of it. "I wouldn't be able to live with myself. Could you?" He grimaced as I cornered him with guilt.
"I'm not sure what I could do," he began cautiously. "Protection spells are pretty limited. The business of life and death isn't exactly the kind of spells the Order gives us access to."
"Well, what can you do? There has to be something." He ran his hand along his slight 5 o'clock shadow and then pinned his eyes on me.
"Dragon's blood."
"Come again?"
"Dragon's blood," he repeated as though I were hard of hearing. "I guess you haven't gotten that far in your lectures at Temple. He only needs a few drops. It'll make him faster, stronger, and a lot more resilient to pain."
He shrugged.
"It's probably the best I can do."
"I'll take it." I had a text from Caleb first thing Monday morning, asking me to meet him in the art room before class. I stopped at my locker to drop off my school bag and lunch, and then hurried down the east hall to the art room. Cracking the door open, I peered inside to make sure the coast was clear. Caleb was already there, sitting on one of the tables, waiting for me.
"Fancy seeing you here," he said as I closed the door behind myself and joined him where he sat.
"Did you get it?"
He opened his school bag and pulled out a black suede satchel.
Did you doubt me?
First and last time. You're amazing. I took the bag from him and untied the string, eager to catch my first real-life glimpse at this so-called dragon's blood.
I keep trying to tell you that, but somehow you're still immune to my charm.
I laughed as I inspected the strange vial of blood, noting the thick, ink-red color before shoving it into my purse. The last thing I wanted was someone walking into the class and catching me with that in my hands. I had enough rumors going around about me. I didn't want to add blood-drinking witchy freak to the mix.
And your talisman, my lady?
He handed me a silver ring with a strange circular symbol I'd never seen before engraved at the center.
Just toss it into a fire when you're done with it.
I slipped it onto my index finger and gave my hand a quick once-over. I owe you for this, Caleb. Seriously, you're a lifesaver. I reached over and wrapped my arms around his neck in a hug. The door crashed open, startling me off of Caleb. I whipped around toward the commotion and found Trace standing at the threshold, his arms crossed over his husky chest and an angry glare in his eyes. He took one quick look at us and then stormed out the room, throwing the door back so hard that it knocked the stopper clear off the wall.
Trace!
I grabbed my bag and started after him, nearly running headfirst into Nikki and Morgan, who were standing just outside the door with a matching pair of snotty grins on their faces. No doubt this had their catty names written all over it.
I told you this town was too small for her, sniped Nikki, her callous eyes falling hard on me.
Keep talking, Nikki. Maybe you'll say something interesting enough for him to notice you someday. I shoved my way past them and took off down the hall after Trace, racing to catch up to him. He was merely walking, but I still had to jog just to keep up with him.
I know it looks bad, Trace, but it was innocent. I was just thanking him for helping me.
Helping you with what?
The skepticism dripped off his tongue like tar. I reached over and touched his arm. With a spell. He stopped short and turned, causing me to nearly faceplant into him. He snatched up my hand and pulled me across the hall into an empty classroom. The dusty gray light dripped in from the windows, making the room feel as dreary and bleak as our lives had become.
What spell?
He asked, slamming the door shut behind himself. A cloaking spell.
You're already cloaked.
He spat it out as though it were another lie I was trying to force-feed him.
I know.
I leaned back against one of the desks. But Gabriel said it's fading, and Dominic confirmed it. You were there, remember? You heard him.
So what? Isn't that what you wanted? Didn't you want to be able to sense them and see them coming?
He asked, moving a little closer to me as he tried to make sense of my story.
Wasn't that the whole point of training with Gabriel?
Yeah, but not like this. Not with Angel out there hunting me.
I let out a strangled breath and shook my head. I don't need another target on my back. I have to make sure he doesn't see me coming. His eyes filled up with a mixture of worry and sadness, and it only made the gravity of the situation weigh heavier on me.
I don't know if I'm ready for it, Trace. For any of it.
It rocked my body, saying the words aloud. Destiny was coming at me full speed, and I hadn't even graduated high school yet. His knowing eyes softened as he pulled me off the desk and dragged me into his warm, waiting arms.
It'll be okay,
he said, lulling me with his words.
I'm not going to let anything happen to you, Gemma.
In that moment, with his arms around me as they were, I actually believed him.
I'll always be here to bring you back,
he whispered in my ear like an affirmation.
And what about you, Trace? Who's going to bring you back, huh? Who's going to make sure nothing happens to you?
That's my problem, Gemma.
Well, it's mine now, too.
He pulled back a little and looked down at me with questioning eyes. I asked Caleb for some dragon's blood, I explained softly. For you. His confused countenance quickly morphed into full-blown anger.
You did what?
He stepped back, and I instantly felt a chill from the loss.
I had to make sure you would be safe.
I told you to stop trying to protect me.
he barked, his jaw ticking like a time bomb. I was just trying to help!
I don't need your help, and I sure as shit don't need Caleb's help either. Damn it, Gemma!
My eyes slammed shut at his words, unable to stomach seeing the sting in his eyes. It wasn't just that I'd done this behind his back. It was that I'd made him feel weak, unable to protect me, or even himself. The realization made me shrink inwardly. All I wanted to do was keep him safe, but it seemed like the more I tried to do that, the more I ended up hurting him. I'm sorry, I said, reaching out. He tried to step away from me when I moved in closer, but I stepped with him this time, refusing to let him shut me out of his world again. I'm sorry I went behind your back, Trace. I am, I started, forcing him to look at me. But I won't apologize for caring about you enough to do it. You're not the only one that's falling in love. I'm falling in love with you, too, and the thought of something bad happening to you scares me to death. And if that makes me a bad person, then... His lips crashed against mine, knocking the wind right out of my entire world. I faintly remembered the sound of the earth quaking in the background, though it could have just as easily been the desk screeching as he moved me back against it. His hands gripped my hips and lifted me onto the desk. There was no room for thought, no time to slow things down. There was only me and him, and the undeniable charge that sent us crashing into each other time and time again. His mouth easily found mine again, and he deepened the kiss, scorching my mouth with his tongue and my heart with his intensity. His hands broke away from my face and moved down my legs, searing my skin like an electric shock, and then moving back up the other way, under my skirt and over my hips. My blood ran hot, humming, burning up with every touch of his hand. Weaving my hand through his hair, I urged him closer to me, and he responded by squeezing my hips and tugging me forward. Ahem, said a soft voice from behind us. Everything halted. I pulled back from Trace and carefully peered over his shoulder. Hannah and four other students were straggling around the door, waiting for us to notice them. The bell sounded just as I scooted forward and dropped my feet to the ground. Neither one of us said a word to our spectators as we adjusted our uniforms and then cleared out of the room like nothing happened. Well, that was embarrassing, I muttered in the hallway. He didn't seem bothered by it. Did you mean what you said in there? He asked, his voice a cautious whisper of hope. I stepped into him and dropped a soft kiss on his lips. Every word. A smile sprouted on his lips. I've been waiting a long time to hear you say that. I guess I finally ran out of excuses. The moment the words left my mouth, a horrible feeling came over me, as Morgan's words reverberated in my head like the echoes of a death threat I couldn't shut off. You told him you loved him, and then he was dead. An icy chill sliced its way down my back as my stomach twisted with anxiety. What if she was telling the truth? What if her vision was real? Had I just taken Trace one step closer to his own gruesome end? 28. Premonitions. A dewy fog wafted over the landscape as I walked up the front steps to the Huntington Manor Tuesday night after my training with Gabriel. I quickly texted my uncle and let him know that I would be staying over at Hannah's house to study, and then let myself in. Everyone was already inside by the time I arrived, with Ben and Dominic sitting by the fire, and Trace pacing back and forth like a caged animal. There was a heaviness in the air that hit me as soon as I entered the room. It choked my lungs and made my skin crawl with trepidation.
Welcome to the festivities, said Ben.
He was smiling, but there was no sign of his usual jovialness in any of his features. His eyes were hard and angry, yet somehow still controlled. It was exactly the kind of motivated determination we needed. I smiled back at him and then turned my attention to Trace.
We need to talk, he said before I could say anything to him. In private.
Okay, I nodded, and then we followed behind him as he marched out of the study and cut straight through the house. Without looking back, he pulled open the front door and stepped outside into the mist. What's going on?
I asked as he turned around to face me. The look on his face stopped my heart cold.
You can't be there tonight.
His jaw was ticking feverishly, urgently.
You need to go home.
Excuse me?
This isn't up for debate.
I stepped towards him, refusing to let him intimidate me. You're right. It isn't up for debate because I'm going. This isn't your call to make, I reminded him.
Well, I'm making it anyway.
I narrowed my eyes at him. No, you're not.
Watch me.
This is ridiculous. I'm going back inside. I started towards the door, but he jumped in my path, blocking me. I gaped at him. Move, Trace.
No, I can't let you go, Gemma.
His nostrils flared as he held his stance like some otherworldly bodyguard.
It's too dangerous.
I tried to step around him, but he moved with me, refusing to give me even an inch of space to work with. Stop trying to Tarzan me, Trace. This is my fight. I got her involved in this, and I'm going to get her out of it.
I can't let you do that, he said again.
His tone was more pleading now and filled with something else. Something that hadn't been there earlier. Fear. Pure, primal fear. I felt a chill run down my back. I glanced over my shoulder into the darkened front yard, gathering my bearings. It was pitch black, but for the thin sliver of moonlight casting its eerie glow on the listless fog. What's going on? I asked, turning back to his worry-filled eyes. What aren't you telling me? His jaw ticked again as an ephemeral battle raged behind his eyes.
Morgan had a vision.
And? I asked evenly.
It's a trap, Gemma. She saw it.
Oh, she saw it, did she? I scoffed at his utter trust of her holy visions. Was I at least dead this time? Because she missed that part last time.
This isn't a joke, Gemma. She's a seer.
Well, she isn't a very good one. The girl obviously can't foresee her own breakfast. I crossed my arms over my chest, rejecting the misinformation I wanted no part of.
You're not going to make it out of there alive.
He stepped into me, slow and cautious, as though walking up to a cornered lioness that might pounce at any moment.
He's too powerful, and it's not just about the amulet anymore. He's out for blood. Going there is suicide, and I can't let you do that.
Are you telling me she saw all that? I asked, disbelievingly. What happened to her, I only see bits and pieces, bullcrap.
She saw enough.
He shook his head.
You're not ready yet. You're outnumbered, outgunned. He's going to see you coming a mile away.
He's not going to see me coming, I countered, feeling confident with our plan and all the precautions I took. I'm cloaked, remember? Doubly, actually.
It doesn't matter.
The fear and frustration was twisting in his eyes like a whirlwind.
Don't you get it? It wasn't my blood in the vision. It was yours. It was yours all along.
I tried to swallow, but my throat seemed to be drying up.
We need to leave town, he said suddenly, as though the idea just dawned on him. We can go to my dad's cabin. If we leave now, we'll make it there before midnight.
I'm not going to your dad's cabin, Trace. I'm not just going to bail on Taylor. He'll kill her.
Then let me and Dominic handle this. You don't need to be there. We'll get Taylor back, and we'll waste Angel and every last one of them, and you won't have to get within a mile of any of them.
His chest was rising and falling so fast I could almost see the frantic adrenaline coursing through his veins. I had to calm him down before he went full Tarzan and dragged me out of here over his shoulder. You can't expect me to hide for the rest of my life, Trace. We both know that's not possible. As long as we stick to the plan, everything's going to be fine. He was about to say something back, but I quickly cut him off. Look, I know you're worried about me, but you don't have to be. I was meant to do this, and more than that, I know I can do it. And I'm protected. So if you truly don't believe I'm ready to face him, then at least believe in the amulet. His eyebrows rutted together as he listened to me plead my case. They can't hurt me as long as I'm wearing this, I reminded him, pulling the enchanted necklace out from under my shirt. And I'm not going to take it off. He released a ragged breath. It was working.
I'm literally indestructible as long as I have this on.
His jaw muscles flexed as he thought it over.
Then promise me you won't take it off for anything or anyone.
His eyes were a symphony of desperation that begged for my compliance.
I need to hear you say it.
I promise, I said, touching my hand to his cheek. He turned into it and kissed my palm. His fierce eyes met mine again as he pulled me to him.
I swear to God, Gemma, if you so much as move your hand towards that necklace, I'm porting you out of there, with or without Taylor.
His eyes burned with ferocity, attesting to his words.
I can't lose you. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I understand perfectly. And I did, because I felt the same way about him. I reached up and punctuated it with a kiss. It's not coming off. The fire was still burning wildly when Trace and I rejoined the rest of our party in the study. Thick flames licked out at the firewood, decorating the room in morbid shades of orange and red. Something about their dance mesmerized me, like they knew what was coming and wanted to bask in the bloodshed.
Everything all patched up?
Asked Dominic with more than a hint of irritation. He was sitting nearest the mantel with his legs crossed and a goblet of brown liquid in his hands. All good. I sat down on the sofa and tied my hair back.
I propose we hit them right before sunrise, begun Dominic, eager to get this massacre underway. They'll be at a great disadvantage with the threat of sunrise over their heads, not to mention preventing their escape.
That's a good idea, actually.
Isn't he a bloodsucker too, though? Asked Ben, thumbing Dominic. Won't he go all stir-fry in the sun?
He's got a temporary day pass, I said, not wanting to elaborate. The less people that knew about my irregular blood, the better. I turned to Trace. Did you get everything we need? He tossed a burlap bag on the coffee table.
Cinder dust, daggers, stakes, and a few explosives in case things get a little too dicey.
Ben leaned across the table and started inspecting the arsenal as Dominic awarded himself another sip. You might want to slow down with that, I suggested. It's probably not the best time to get trashed. Dominic's laughter hissed at me like an insult.
I can handle my liquor, love. In fact, I hear you're in need of instruction. I'd be more than happy to lend a hand.
My eyes narrowed at him.
Lend this, said Trace, giving him the finger. You're not my type, Romeo.
Seriously? I snapped at their bickering. Not tonight! Ben looked up at me with furrowed brows, but I just shook my head at him, dejected. I didn't have enough energy to explain the strange frenemy dynamics between Trace and Dominic. Shrugging, he turned his attention back to the artillery. I dug my hand into my pocket and pulled out the vial of dragon's blood Caleb had graciously provided me with, and tossed it over to Trace, as Dominic cleared the coffee table and spread out a map. Trace caught the vial in the air and clenched his jaw, apparently still trying to fight me on it. He wouldn't win this one. I stared him down until he flicked the cap off and dropped the contents into his mouth.
They're staying at the abandoned factory on Old Miller Road, started Dominic, pointing to a circled section on the map. There's approximately 20 or so of them, though they rarely ever congregate at the same time.
He pulled out some kind of blueprint and flattened it over the map.
This is where Gemma and I will be entering the premise. The two of you need to hold up the back end. My guess is they're keeping the blonde one right around here.
She has a name, interrupted Ben, his sandy eyebrows pulled together in an angry point. Her name is Taylor.
Taylor, then, said Dominic through pursed lips, is most likely being retained in one of the offices over here. I'd venture there's only one or two guards watching her at the most. I'm assuming you two knuckleheads could handle two revenants on your own, yes?
Trace looked as though he were about to reach over and rip Dominic's larynx out of his throat. Yeah, they got this, I jumped in, trying to keep things moving along. What's next? I asked, leaning over the blueprint.
Once they locate Taylor, he continued, exaggerating her name again. Romeo will port the three of them out of there.
And us? I asked hoarsely, my voice rasping from the sandpaper that had now become my throat. His onyx eyes glowed with mischief.
Our only goal, love, is to take down Angel, and to do so as swiftly as possible. Kill as many of his men as you need to in order to get to him. But make no mistake, the longer it takes to reach him, the harder he will be to take down.
My hands were starting to shake now, but I refused to let any of them see it. I buried them deep in my pocket and steeled my backbone. Anything else?
Yes, Angel, simpered Dominic. Don't get killed.
29. A Time to Kill.
The rain came down slow, like dripping blood, a prophetic embodiment of the bloodbath that awaited us. We parked several blocks from the factory in an unmarked car and waited impatiently for dusk to slip away from us. When the time finally came, the four of us stepped out of the car in silence and made our way towards the abandoned building.
Last stop on the Hell Train, said Dominic as we approached our first mark, a parking lot across the street from the factory. If anyone wants to get off, now is your chance. We're good, Leech. Hurry up and do your thing.
We'd already staked out the building an hour earlier, familiarizing ourselves with the grounds and layout. There were four entries into the building, though only the front and back ones were accessible, and consequently, being guarded. Across the street from the building, there was a deserted parking lot shrouded in overgrowth and shadows. A perfect place for shapeshifting.
All right, people, stand back, said Ben, lifting his arms dramatically. I need some space here.
Amateur, snorted Dominic, as he cracked his neck and lowered himself onto his knee. He looked regal in that pose, like a dark knight awaiting his honor. A pulsation quickly overtook his body, luring his form into an indistinguishable dark shadow that no longer bore any resemblance to the enigmatic revenant that haunted my dreams. His black wolf form quickly emerged from the inky haze, and then stepped to me, shaking the water from his fur.
Watch it, dog, warned Trace.
Dominic growled back, low and threatening. Ben went next, and while his shift wasn't as fast as Dominic's, it was still impossible to see what was truly happening in the dark haze that seemed to be vibrating. Before my mind could put the picture together, a mottled, dark gray wolf materialized, with a quick howl to the moon. I don't think I'll ever get used to seeing that, I said, hugging my arms for warmth.
You will,
answered Trace, his tone somber and grim.
You'll get used to a lot of things.
Ben's wolf form stalked past me, grazing my leg as he moved to Dominic. The two of them began circling each other like some kind of primal dance I wasn't privy to. Trace slipped his arm around my waist and pulled me into the warm space between his arms.
Remember what you promised me, he whispered softly in my ear. Don't make me regret this.
He brought his mouth to mine and kissed me hard, instantaneously melting the chill that had begun anesthetizing my bones. With that, he pulled away and started down the street, his raven hair and dark clothes blending into the night as Ben followed closely behind him. I turned to the ebony wolf beside me.
Ready to slay some vampires? Lead the way, Slayer.
I released my wooden stake from the sheath around my ankle and secured the silver dagger in my other hand. Pulling in a lungful of air, I abandoned my fear where I stood and started down the street parallel to the one Trace and Ben had disappeared into.
There was no going back now, so I didn't even look.
We rounded the side of the building and eased our way towards the front entrance, where a dark-haired Rev was loitering under a dilapidated shelter, pulling in a drag from his cigarette and staring off into the barren street. A plume of nicotine from his lungs floated into the rain like a smoke signal to the heavens.
I got this one, love, said Dominic to my mind, but I was already creeping towards Smokey the Vampire.
The minute his back was to me, I pounced on him from the shadows, ramming my foot into the center of his back. His cigarette flew from his fingers as he hit the wet concrete.